we've been doing for the last 3 weeks, the Beatitudes. This morning I'm talking about the attitude number 3. Righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'm going to swap over, okay? Can you just get the first slide up? That would be great if you could, John. So let's go through the Beatitudes again. We're going to keep going through them until we get to know them. The Beatitudes are the attitudes to be. The attitudes to be. It's what God requires from us. The first four are a representation of the lifestyle Jesus portrayed. The last four are the fruits that Jesus wants to bring out of us. Amen? So we have to do, we've done meekness, we've done poor in spirit, we've done, what's the other one? Mourning, we've done them three. May I say number four, and them three attitudes, and them three things that God is trying to deal with us, really He's trying to empty us. He's trying to empty us of us. So He becomes priority in everything. Amen? Because if you ain't empty, you can't be filled. Because the next one is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. It's impossible to be filled unless you're first emptied. So the first three are to be emptied. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Humility. Humility. Walking in humility. The very foundation of all the attitudes are humility. I must walk in humility. I must not allow pride to rise up and rob me. I must always esteem others greater than myself, to love people, to understand that God has a plan and purpose for every man, woman and child on earth, and that He wants them to see them in His kingdom. Humility. Good. Now, the next one down, son. The first one. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. Mourning is not weeping or being sad. Mourning is getting the heartbeat of God. In other words, weeping for what He weeps. Being felt or being able to feel the heart of God and experience the heart of God. I took you to Ezekiel, I think it's 6 and 9, or 9 or 6, one of the two, where it says, my heart was crushed because of the idolatrous ways. In other words, it was telling us that we have the power to hurt God. You and I have the power to hurt God. We have the power to hurt His heart. So close and so open is He towards His relationship with us that He gives me the enablement to hurt Him. And that should move me. So not to do the things that hurt God. And what does hurt, what hurts God more than anything? Sin. Sin in His people. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Meekness. Strength under control. Strength under control. Doesn't mean weakness. It means you know who you are. And knowing who you are, you can be solid upon the things of God. You can be not be moved or shaken by what people say, think or do. Not reacting. Not lashing out. Not going in the opposite spirit. But walking and believing and walking in the love of God. Walking in the mercy of God. Walking in the grace of God. Amen? So it's... people that don't understand meekness usually have a low self-esteem. And they walk out of that low self-esteem and first of all they react. Instead of acting, they react. And so when they react, they go in the flesh. And once I'm in the flesh, I've got a mindset of the flesh and it's all about me. The flesh man is always about us. True? So we're going on. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of. So if I'm filled with then three, first three things, righteousness, I'm filled with them, then I can walk in mercy, then I can walk with the pureness of heart, and then I can be a peacemaker in the midst of trouble. But I can't be filled unless I'm first empty. Hallelujah. In fact, if you look at number four and you look at number eight, it says, blessed are those who are, what? Persecuted for? Righteousness' sake, for they shall see the kingdom of? So when I'm walking in righteousness, I should expect trouble. When you stand for truth, and when you stand for right, and when you stand for the principles, and the principles of God, and the principles of the kingdom, there will be things said, there will be accusations declared, there will be trouble that might come against you. But if you've already got the first three, you can stand. You can stand. So let's look at this. Five times in the Sermon on the Mount, the word righteousness is involved. God is trying to get something across to us. On the Sermon on the Mount, doesn't stop till chapter 7 actually. But five times it's mentioned the word righteousness. A righteous living. Because it's what God requires from His saints so they can move forward to minister to others. Once they establish the righteousness of God in their lifestyle and their principles of life, they can walk and touch. They can be truly the merciful hand of God touching others. They can truly walk in the power of God to minister to people in their very hour of need, because they are already filled with something that is not of them. They are filled with the righteousness of God. Verse 6, it says this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Verse 20. Keep going, please. Verse 20. For I say unto you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of what? Scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 6:1 says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds or righteousness, literally it says, before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. If I'm not seeing addition to the things of the kingdom of God, am I walking in righteousness? Am I walking in righteousness? It ain't rocket science. Am I walking in righteousness? I am righteous by the blood of the Lamb. I'm positionally righteous, but He wants me to walk a righteous life style. I can't live like a dog, believe in Jesus, and expect to enter the kingdom. I can't do what I think is right in my eyes and not aligning my life if I believe. If I believe in Jesus, that belief should challenge and change my lifestyle so the inside comes upon the outside of me and I walk a walk of righteousness. The word believe in the kingdom of God literally means this. Rely upon, adhere to, and trust in. So when people say, I believe, are you relying upon Him? Are you adhering to His principles? Are you trusting in Him? That's what the word believe means. So when I say I believe in Jesus, and when... yeah. Are you actually walking the principle lifestyle that God requires of us? Because narrow is the way. Narrow is the way. Christian lifestyle is a laying down of oneself and one's will and one's lifestyle to pick up His lifestyle, because knowing what He has for me brings me liberty, freedom, and joy. The problem is a trust issue. Will I release my life to Him so I can take up His life and then be truly free indeed?
The dilemma is this wrestle. The flesh lusts against the spirit lusts against the flesh, and we miss out the middle part, the soul man, because it's wrestling for control of your soul. Your flesh man and your spirit man are in a battle for the control of your soul, because as a man thinks, he's wrestling. And that's why sometimes when I sway between flesh and spirit, there's a wrestle or torment in my mind because it's trying to control the way I act and think. And Christians, the antidote to that is walk in the, die to your flesh. It's not a popular gospel, but it is a true gospel. It is a real gospel. And it's the only gospel that will set me free. I must crucify my flesh. The Holy Spirit will lead me to the cross, but you better get on it. Pick up your cross and follow. He'll lead you to a cross. The cross experience isn't the death experience of me, it's the death experience of my flesh. Because when I'm on the cross, resurrection life can come. That's why Jesus says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured. He endured a cross. Because without a cross, you can't have a crown. And so the flesh will always be in battle against the things of the Spirit. Forever in battle with the things of the Spirit. Turn the next one, son. So the first three Beatitudes are literal emptying of oneself so I can be filled. And it leads me to a blessedness. And what God is doing is giving me tidbits. He's giving me little snippets of a blessed life. You walk in humility, you'll be blessed. You walk in mourning, you'll be blessed. You'll be walking meekness, you'll be blessed. And then the next thing he says is, if you're hungry and thirst, you'll be filled. There was no blessedness in the hungering and thirsting. Because when I'm empty, I will naturally want to be filled. And if I ain't filling myself with the things of the Spirit, you will be filled with something else. Are you with me this morning? I'm trying to hit this enemy that brings double-mindedness to Christians this morning. I'm trying to slap him in the face and say, get out of our lives. If when I'm hungry and thirsting, I will be filled with something. Therefore, I must determine what am I going to be filled with. That is my choice. That is my choice. If I want to walk in the flesh, I'll walk in the flesh. And I'll be filled with fleshly and earthly desires. But may I say this, you will never be filled. Because you will leak out and someone's always going to be more filled than you. And the flesh will always want the more. To keep up with the Joneses. May I say, all you'll be doing is running around in circles. There's not an end to that race. It's just a long, long endurance. And so the enemy copycats thirsting and filling. But if I've emptied myself, I realize everything that I require is found in Him. Everything. Everything I require is already found in Him. Here's the problem. Do I want that more than it? Here's another dilemma. Can I have a bit of both? The minute I chase the things of the flesh, the minute I start to change the things of the flesh, is the minute I'm entrapped. It says you're ensnared, actually. I'm ensnared. And what it does, it takes the focus off the kingdom onto some other kingdom called the kingdom of self. There's the kingdom of God, and there's a kingdom of self. And that's the battle.
Anyone going through battles in the Christian walk? 90%
of our battle, I'll actually rephrase that, 99.9% of your battle, right, is with you. It's your flesh man, the carnal man. 1 Corinthians 3:1 says, talking to the church, are you in a carnal when these things are still within you? Talking to the church, Corinthian church. Can we be Christians in the carnal? You better believe it. You better believe it. You can be a Christian and carnal. And if you're carnal, all you'll ever grow to be is a babe in Christ. And we've got some 30, 40, 50, 60-year-old people in church that are still sucking on a bottle. Still on the milk of the word. Where there should be teachers of the faith. Hold on tight. It's going to get tough. But if it makes you circumcise your heart, praise God. So the first three are beatitudes, the emptying to be filled. The fourth is where the hunger and the thirst cause an emptying for kingdom principles. God begins to fill and overflow me for the walk that is in the next three stages of mercy. Mercy. Purity. And I can't remember the last one. And a peacemaker. Unless I am filled in the things of the Spirit, I will never be a peacemaker. I'll never show mercy because it's all about me. Me. Me, 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 me. A lot of us practice that song. Me, 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 it's all about me. But unless me die, I can't live resurrected life. Does it mean I've lost my salvation? No. No, not necessarily. But does it mean can I live kingdom life now? No. Forever in a state of warfare. Forever in a state of mind, your mindset's not free. Constantly wrestling. Here's my challenge. Here was the challenge to me this week. What am I hungering and thirsting for? It's a choice. Following Jesus is a choice. Someone said to me, how powerful is our thinking in our mind? It's so powerful, in fact, if we were left up to the carnal mind and without the principles of God orchestrating lifestyles in me, each one of us are one decision away from being horrible. We're one decision away from being a murderer. A murderer never goes out. A murderer's not born a murderer. They're not born a murderer. They're not born a rapist. They made a decision. And the carnal mind is that powerful. We're all just one decision away. But if I walk in the Spirit and put to death the things of the... Who has to put to death? We do. By the power of the Holy Spirit. We do. We have to choose that. Put to death the things of the flesh. That's what the Spirit man does. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of your... I have to choose to walk. I have to choose to empty myself to be filled. And that's not a one-off experience, that's an everyday experience. I have to keep choosing to empty myself to be filled. That's why I believe if you look in the book of Acts, it says, and being filled with the Holy Ghost, and being filled with the Holy Ghost, and being filled with the Holy Ghost, because every day they had to make a decision to be filled with the... Holy Ghost. I've got to choose every day to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Or I can be filled with self. I'll let down my guard. I know when I'm walking in the flesh. Immediately there's tension in the house. I know when I'm walking in the flesh because I want my way. And I will defend my way. I will argue the point to get my own way. I will prove to her that I am right. I will show her, even in Scripture, that I am right. And that's exactly what it is. You're dead right. I've just killed something. Now I have to build it again. Now I have to restore something. Trust has been damaged. Love has been pained. Because I want to be right. It can lead us to pharisaical attitudes where relationship becomes with Jesus becomes a religion and self becomes more important than selflessness. Self becomes more important than selflessness. And I want to say this morning, He wants us to hunger and thirst. We need to change our diet. What am I eating of? What am I partaking of? What well am I drinking out of? Am I drinking from the dead stream? Out of hewn cisterns? Am I going to the river of life? The river's just there. But you've got to go and get it. You've got to go and get it. It ain't going to fall out of heaven. You've got to get up and do something. If I'm not hungering and thirsting for the kingdom of God, have I emptied myself from the first three things? If I'm not getting filled with the things that, if my reading is dying and my prayer life is going to nothing and I'm not communicating with God and all of a sudden I'm not in fellowship with Him and it's just become a religion. I go to church, I lift up my hands, I sing Him a song, but I live just the way I want to live. Have I died to the first three things? Am I poor in spirit? Am I meek? Do I mourn? Have I emptied myself of myself so when I come before Him, He can fill me? Am I so full of self, there's no room for Him? What do I have to empty myself from? If I want to walk in the authority and the power of God, it has to be His Spirit within me. If I want to see victory in my family, I've got to empty myself of me and allow His principles to dictate to me in my house. Because if I don't do that, guess what's going to happen? I'm sending two messages in my home. One of spirit, one of flesh. And the kids are confused. The kids are confused. Parents doing this and parents doing that. And the kids say, but I thought we'd go to church. Why do you speak to mum like that? Why do you act like that? Why do you say them things? You know, aren't we Christians? Aren't we Christians? Aren't we supposed to be Christians? Isn't it supposed to be peace resonating in my home? Isn't it supposed to be authority and power flowing through us? Isn't it supposed to be the presence of God when people walk in, they can feel the peace of God in your own home? But if we can be really honest this morning, if there's none of that happening, am I emptying myself of myself? Am I being filled with the things of the Spirit? Or have I just turned Him into a religion? And just following a formula and not a person. Christianity is not a formula. And Christianity is certainly not principles, not just principles. It's a person. It's a person. And without Him, we're nothing. And I must connect to Him at all costs. And hear me, it will cost us. It will cost you something to be like Him. And God wants His church to replicate Him. We are His body. We are His body on earth. So therefore God is asking His church, can you lay down your life so you can pick up life? If you lose your life, you shall. But if you find your life, you shall. I must then question myself. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, test yourself, prove to yourself whether you're in the faith. Look at your walk. Look at your talk. The greatest thing you need to do is have two ears. What's coming out of my mouth? Because my mouth is a mirror of my heart. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Just listen to yourself. I critique myself sometimes. I hate listening to my own voice. But I critique myself sometimes in my preaching. But I critique myself sometimes in what's coming out of my mouth. I sit back. I look back. And say, did I speak life? Did I speak death? Did I gossip? Did I pull down? Did I slander? I know these are unpleasant things to talk about, but they're necessary. If you want holiness in your life, and you want to walk in the principles of the kingdom, we need to address things in our life. God is not a bless me club. He's not a bless me club. Lord, if I do this, if I give you $1, you're going to give me 10 back. Hallelujah. He's not that. He ain't a genie. He's a person who is jealous of you. Who is jealous of you. Jealous to such a point he would lay down his life for you. And he is looking for a bride that would love him just the same. But I have to address things in my life. And what I address, you might never have to address. The Holy Ghost will show you what you need to do. He's your teacher. But if I push them aside, I'll never be filled. So therefore, I can't fulfill the next three. I can't show mercy. I can't be a peacemaker. Because I'm so consumed with me. The world has to revolve around me. May I say something? It don't. And the world will keep going on, and you'll be spat out. And it'll still keep going on. But Christ, if I've been spat out, he'll pick me up. If I'm bruised, he will heal my wounds. If I'm broken, he will mend me. If I need healing, he'll do it. If I need a heart transplant, he'll do it. If I need to have a head change, he'll do it. He'll do it. So we need to change our diet. We must challenge to align my hungering and thirsting things of God. The challenge is to align the hungering and thirsting that will cause the need in me to be quenched and filled, because when I'm in that place of chasing after things and chasing after whatever besides the kingdom, I'm in an endless circle. And God wants to break your circle. He never intended me to run around in circles. He wants me to chase him. And if I chase him, he says, seek after me. Seek you first the kingdom of God and all these other what? Things. And when you get them, sometimes you don't even want them. You feel so blessed. In fact, the blessing will overtake you. You can't keep up with it. Because he loves blessing. It's his nature to bless. And he wants his children's nature to bless. Not to be so consumed with self. Have I got to change my diet? It's out of being filled with righteousness that I can and the overflow that I can work or have the outworking of mercy, purity, and peacekeeping. Or peacemaking. Sorry. To love, touch, and minister to others. With the genuineness. With the genuineness. When I first got saved, I was in this not-so-healthy church. A cult, actually. I used to go every Friday to the Hay Street Mall by myself a lot of times with my bag of tracts. And I would aim for people. And I would try and get them just before they got in the middle. I'd keep them on the edge. And I would corner them. And I would preach them.
The only way to hell. I've got the answer. Let's give your life to Jesus now. And I could be there 10 minutes, 15. I'd be there an hour if it needed to be. They wouldn't escape. They would go sideways politely, but I'd corral them back in. They would try and turn their back and go round, but I'd just corral them back in. Thinking I'm doing the work of Jesus. And I had that many people give their lives to the Lord, and I'd go to the church and say, "That's five saved the other night, wonderful." And God says, "Well, you got five people saying something, they don't know if they got saved." Some people just said it to get me out of their way. Whatever you need, just, I'm on my way to the nightclub, get out of my way. You're making me late. What do I have to do to get out of your face? Not what I had to do to get saved. It became a religion, it became a formula. And I had medals. Had medals because I had so many saved. Little did I realize they were just being polite. Majority, not everyone, but majority of them. And it became a religion to me. I didn't know him. And he wants me to, where's my Bible? He wants me to know him. So his righteousness is what fills me. His mercy, his purity, his peacekeeping, peacemaking. And when I walk in that, when I walk in that emptiness, when I walk in the principles and the guidance of the Spirit, people will say things against you. Blessed are the righteous, for they shall be. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for they shall see the kingdom of God. People will speak against you. Even church folk will speak against you. Oh, he's too religious. Oh, it's not, life's not all about God. Because there's still self in them. What am I seeking? What kingdom am I seeking? Turn with me to chapter 5, verse 20. I'm going to give you six illustrations on how righteousness must, how righteousness must supersede the righteousness of the Pharisees. 6. 21 to 26. Dealing with hate. 21:26 is dealing with hate. In fact, 1 John 3:15 says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know not. Sorry, and you know that no murderer shall inherit life, eternal life, or has eternal life abiding in him. Just the mere fact you might hate someone, Jesus says that you're a murderer. I'm a murderer. It's as bad as murdering someone. Walking in the flesh can make you hate people. He who hates his brother. We need to talk about these things. Because some Christians aren't walking right. They have things against people. They have unforgiveness. That can turn into a root of bitterness and hate. I need to talk about these things. I need to unpluck that thing out of my life. I need to forgive. I need to walk in the spirit of forgiveness. Humility. It's not about me, Jesus. It's all about you. I need to mourn. Oh God, I hope that this hasn't hurt you. Me thinking like this and acting like this. God, have I hurt you? I need to repent. I need to get it right. 27 to 30 of chapter 5 talks about adultery, sexual immorality. Bible says he who looks upon a woman and lusts after her is already committed. Come on, you know what it says. It already commits what? Adultery. He just looks upon a woman and lusts after her. You've already committed adultery in your heart. Bible says no adulterer shall inherit the kingdom of. He's saying this.
We have more saints of God, more Christians, now than ever before, sleeping and living with one another. Because they have not got the fear of God and emptied themselves of themselves, or know that God doesn't want this. And the reality is, the minute you join yourself with someone out of wedlock and you're in fornication or adultery, you are now in a position where you're no longer going to be able to enter the kingdom. Does that mean God doesn't love you? Of course He still loves you. He loves you. He loves you enough to challenge you to change. Sexual immorality. What's sexual immorality? Old King James will say adultery and also mentions fornication. But the reality is, fornication is immoral sex. As sex out of wedlock, whether you're married or unmarried. 31:32 says, understanding a marriage is holy before the Lord. Not divorcing, then remarrying for any other reason but adultery and death. That is not a popular gospel. Any time a Christian should remarry another Christian, I say that again, remarry another Christian, not to be unequally yoked, another Christian, as if there is death in the marriage or in adultery. That's what the Bible says. We need to empty ourselves of we. What I think is right, what I allow, what I believe the society is allowing me to do. Society should not dictate to me, but the Word of God. That's my standard. Not what they're saying. If it was up to the world, most of our children today wouldn't even know if they're male or female. They allow them to choose. In Sweden, children... The sex of the children isn't even put on their birth certificate. When they're old enough, they can choose what they want to be. It's sick. The world is sick. Because where sin is, there's sickness. We have to lift up a standard. And when we lift up the standard, do you think the church will get persecuted? You better believe it. Because we're standing for righteousness. God forbid. God forbid that we shut our mouths to these sort of things. I turn a blind eye to them. Or in a conversation when things are happening, I don't speak up for truth. Next one, please, son. We should be the kind of people who do not have to take an oath to be believed. The Bible says, let your yes be yes, your no be no. My yes or yes should not be so misunderstood that they want me to make an oath. Really? Is that really, really true? Can you swear on God? Swear to God? But there should be a remnant or resonance of my life that when I say yes, I mean yes. When I say no, it's no. Chapter 5, 38-42, do not seek revenge, but rather bless. Return good for evil. Bless those who persecute you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Don't seek revenge. Seek a way to bless. Don't seek a way to pull down. Seek a way to lift up. Not easy. My flesh will say, how dare they? You know, I'm just going to tell them a thing or two. May I say this? After number two, there's number three. And God will tell you number three. He expects more from His saints. He expects us to live a lifestyle that replicates Him on earth. So 43-48. Love your neighbor. Love an enemy and pray for them. So the Sermon on the Mount ends in chapter 7, verse 22 and 23. And he says this, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do this in your name? And he said what? Depart from me, for I never knew you. In other words, you weren't thirsting and you weren't hungry for. I never knew you. But I prophesied. Oh, I saw visions. I levitated. I got transported. I did all these mighty, wonderful things for your name, Jesus. I don't know you. You never ate of me. You never drank of me. You weren't at my table. The flesh will always keep me thirsty. The flesh will always keep me hungry. And I'll be chasing my tail all my life. And it brings confusion to my mind. Because I know what the word says. But I ain't prepared to empty myself of self so the word can have its way. And the minute I allow myself to choose to say, not my will, but let's finish it, people, please. Not my will, but thy will. Thy will. The minute I choose that is the minute he starts pouring in. Come and drink at my table. Come and eat of me. If you're thirsty and you're hungry, some of us have to change our diet. We have to change our diet. Because if I don't, I'll walk around as a frustrated Christian. Oh, I don't know what's happening. Every time I try and do this and every time I try and do it, nothing seems to work. Are you emptying yourself of the first three? Are you walking in humility? Are you mourning? Have you got the heartbeat of God? Are you walking in meekness? The eyes no longer alive? Are you crucifying the flesh so you can walk in the Spirit? Because the minute I do that, there will be a hungering and a thirsting. And He'll fill me. Blessed are those who walk in righteousness, for those who thirst, hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for they shall be, not might be filled, you will be filled. Let's stand this morning. I believe we're living in times more dire than ever before. I believe Satan's trying to blur the line. He's trying to blur the line. He's trying to mimic hungering and thirsting. We can say it like this. You can hear something and be in something. And all it might be is froth and bubble. No substance, no meat to eat. Froth and bubble. And when the excitement dies, what are you full of? What am I full of? Am I still empty? Have I gained happiness instead of joy? Happiness is only temporal. Joy is eternal. We need to change our diets. Me included. Me included. Physically and spiritually. Me included. Prepare to watch 8 hours of TV and have half an hour with Jesus a week. Scares me when I talk to young Christians, not just from here, everywhere. No depth of the word. No panting. No hungering. their futures about things and cars and houses. Nothing wrong with them. God even wants to give you them. As long as the first thing you've got is His kingdom. Nothing wrong with them. In fact, He loves to bless. I need to change my diet. What's my prayer life like? What's my reading like? How's my house? How's my house? Does it need a remodeling? He's here this morning. He's saying, will you let me in? Will you let Him in? He wants to be our Lord, not just my Savior. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just Jesus Christ. He's Lord. He wants to be Lord of everything. And if I allow Him, I'll find perfect peace. Not just peace. Perfect peace. Every eye closed, every head bowed, please, this morning. If you need to change your diet, you just say, Lord, this is me. I lift my hands before You this morning. I'm lifting my hands before You, unabashed, unashamed. I'm lifting my hands before You, Jesus. I need to change my diet. I need to be a seeker of the kingdom first, not a seeker of things. Help me, Jesus, to put to death those things that are aroused within me that are not of Your Spirit. Help me, Jesus, to allow my mouth to be a well of life, not bitter and sweet waters coming out the same fountain. Help me, God, to change my heart. I want to say this, you'll never change your tongue. It says, in fact, James says, your tongue's untamable. But your tongue will only talk what's in your heart. If I need to change my tongue, I need to change my heart. Help me to change my heart. Help me. Help me to represent You this morning, Jesus, upon this earth. To show mercy. To be a peacemaker. I can't remember the last one. God, this morning, we want to have an exchange. Say, Lord, help us to pick up our cross and follow You. Help us, Jesus, because without You, we can't do it. Without Your power, I will not crucify my flesh. I need Your power. I need Your anointing. I need Your presence. I need Your conviction in my life. Help me to have an ear to hear. But above all, Jesus, help me to be obedient to Your voice. And step out by faith. So that thing can die in me. That You might live. Father, we receive right now the grace and Your mercy. We receive it. And we thank You that Your anointing is here to break every yoke. To set every captive free. That we don't have to walk out of here dictated to. But we can be one that can dictate to it. That we have the power over it in Christ's name this morning. We thank You that You brought freedom and liberty to Your church. And You want to walk in righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Therefore, Father, we surrender our will and we say, not my will, but Thy will be done. That we might reflect Your love, Your grace, Your mercy upon this earth. We thank You, Lord. As we confess our sin, it's gone as far as the east is to the west, not to be known anymore, because that's how good You are to us. We receive it. We receive Your mercy in Jesus' holy name. If that's you this morning, shout amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Changing a diet sometimes is not pleasurable. I have to go on a diet. I ain't looking forward to it. But I know it's the best thing for me.
So sometimes you just got to walk by faith. Amen? Walk by faith. See the end result. Glory to God. God bless you. Have a great week. Successful week. Wonderful week in Jesus' name. Amen.